Well, welcome everybody to this bonus edition of Forever Bristol City podcast. I was just settling down to watch Escape to the Country or something like that, but I saw it come up on OTIB under the heading "He's Gone." He's gone, meaning Nigel Pearson. I called up Ian, and Ian joining me. I've tried to get hold of some of our other contributors, and indeed, if you look on Twitter, there is a link to come into the live studio, as well as watching live on YouTube. If you watch live on YouTube, you can make comments on the text feed, but we can have four or five people in the studio. So, you know, if I see you, click the link and come in, I'll let you have your say. Ian, I expect, like me, you expect, I saw Sheffield Wednesday won today, so we weren't going to be the first team to lose to them next week, which was wildly being heralded. But did it surprise you when I phoned you about half hour ago and said he's gone?
Yeah, I put myself in the camp that says surprised but not shocked. Mm. I'm not shocked that Dave Rennie's gone because of all the comments that we made on last night's pod about injuries. I'm not shocked that Nigel's gone because of how he's been in the last two or three interviews. Even yesterday when Ali Durden, I think, said to him, well, see you next week. Not, yeah, I'll be here. Well, hopefully.
Mm.
And you start to think, you know, we've all said, and we're not geniuses, it's been said widely that there's something wrong behind the scenes. There's something going on down there. It's not a happy camp. There's no great relationship between Pearson and the what he called the hierarchy. So, yeah, I'm not shocked. As things turn to who's next, someone's already commented on here, who's next. Rowett, Eustace, Lampard, even Lee Johnson. Never surprised me if Steve Lansdowne brought him back. Wouldn't want him, but there you go. And the other name I'll throw into the hat, it might be the ex-QPR and Rangers manager, Beale.
Yeah.
So that you just look at who's available. Could it be Frank Lampard? We're probably a bit
Who's available for Frank. And who would we want? I mean, the fact of the matter is as well that he's got rid of, in line with this, he's got rid of Jason Yule. I don't know what he's done wrong. And head of medical performance, Dave Rennie. Yeah, now, you know, that's...
Well, Rennie, I can understand because of all the injuries, and perhaps they've looked into it, and questions were asked, and the answers were either not the ones they wanted to hear or weren't forthcoming. And Dave Rennie was very much Nigel Pearson's appointment or his man. So
they
was Jason.
Together all those years at Leicester, hadn't they? Yeah,
they did. And then you look at who's in charge, Curtis Fleming, who's also very much Nigel Pearson's choice. But I suppose you had to leave somebody there to keep running it.
Yeah. It says assistant manager Curtis Fleming will take on the role of interim head coach, supported by Ali Hines and Khalifa Cisse. Now, I didn't even realise Khalifa Cisse was still at the club. But who's Ali Hines? I should know this, but I don't.
Well, Ali Hines has done Robin's TV a few times. He's I think he's what they call a development coach down there. So it'll be people that the players are used to, because Nigel's not been a tracksuit coach for quite a long time. And that's Nigel saying that, not me. And by the way, before I forget, good luck to him. Good luck to him with his health, with a neurological condition, and with his back operation. Because I know what it's like to have back trouble. Not as bad as he's got, I got to be perfectly honest. But as somebody else has said on the comments line, proof will be in the pudding. Now, let's see what plan Lansdowne's have now. Serious about promotion or serious to sell? Well, I would say they're serious about both on those. Sam Rousel said we'll be toxic on Saturday. That depends how the game goes.
It's like when Terry Venables left West Bromwich Albion. There were all these talks about you've got to boycott the club. And then whoever came in, you know, if you're 3-0 up at halftime against Sheffield Wednesday, it ain't going to be toxic, is it, at the end of the day?
No, it's not. And we need to know who's going to come in. The runners and riders will soon emerge. If a an appointment isn't in the offing already, because this is would appear to me something's been there's been radio silence from the board. So it would appear to me that something's been going on for a few weeks. So it may be that there's an appointment in the offing. We obviously don't know. That's just pure speculation. So I'm not claiming to know, but it hasn't. It's been salty, hasn't it, for the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Those comments he made after the Coventry game, where it was sticking, it was prodding the bear, which is the Lansdowne family. I mean, let's see the. I actually thought to begin with somebody had made up a bloody good effigy of the official website, you know, because the timing. What was it? 2:45 in the afternoon, and this is it. This is what it says. He said, Nigel Pearson has left Bristol City with immediate effect after being relieved of his role as manager. Now, a couple of people put on there with immediate effect, but the second half of the sentence says, after being relieved of his role as manager, City Chairman John Lansdowne, oh, he does speak, this was a difficult decision to make as we recognise and appreciate how much Nigel has done for the club over the past 2.5 years, on and off the pitch. Nigel is highly respected by the staff and players and has been very supportive of the academy structure and our women's team. We all wanted Nigel to achieve our ambition to be promoted, but with our recent results, feel that now is the time to make a change to give the club the best possible chance of success. I mean, it's hollow words, really. We all wanted Nigel to achieve our ambition to be promoted, even though we didn't give him any of the money for selling Alex Scott and bring him into the team in a way that no other manager would have done, such that he was able to really realise that value so soon. I think that statement sucks, Ian, don't you?
Well, it's the standard statement that you can release without getting sued by Nigel Pearson or the LMA. So no doubt Nigel Pearson will put something, and I would imagine it'll be a pretty classy response. On Twitter or Instagram or one of the media sites, or one of his agent or his representatives will. And it's a shame. Nobody ever wants any manager down, even managers that I am particularly rated, and that's a few, Sean O'Driscoll, Lee Johnson. You wanted them to do well. I've never gone to a Bristol City game hoping we lose. And I've never met anybody that did, irrespective of how they felt about a manager. So it's a rotten shame. But as we said on the podcast last night, it's a results game. And as I said on there, and there's recording, so I'm not making this up after the event, I've never disliked Nigel Pearson. I have disliked the results we've had in some of the football we've played under him. I'll make no secret of that. Yeah. And I'm not going to start speaking ill of him when he's gone. But yeah, I agreed with a lot of things he said after the game, but what he didn't seem to have for me with that many solutions. So it's now a case of, as it always is in football, the king is dead, long live the king. So somebody else is going to come in, and it will depend exactly how they do as to how the fans react to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. One of our gang, I won't say who, I said, bit of news from that he's heard from someone in the know down at Ashtongate that Rowett has been lined up and Pearson could be gone before the next international break. Now, the person who sent me this just now said, had this yesterday, forgot to share. Rowett was being largely touted on OTIB within the last 24 hours. Is he... What would you say is the good and the bad of Rowett? From some respects, you know, he's managed a small budget. He's managed at Millwall. He walked away from Birmingham because he thought there was something better up the road. He's one step up from Nathan Jones in terms of likability, I would say. But what's your view on that, Ian?
It wouldn't be my choice, but it depends who it is. I mean, You look at what's available. The Lansdownes aren't going to want to pay compensation. So you go through a list of available managers. And the way the industry works is it's a constant recycling of incompetent labour. And when I say incompetent labour, I mean people that keep getting sacked. So most managers have been sacked on a number of occasions that you get.
No, you're right. And every manager has got a track record of failure somewhere. Yeah, unless you're Alex.
You're in recruitment. If I came to you with a CV that said I've been sacked from my last five jobs, you wouldn't look at me, would you?
So no, and then the sacking, and then there's leaving by mutual consent, because they could have. I mean, it is quite black and white the way they said it. They could have said by mutual consent, but it's with immediate effect, relieved of his duties. They could have done it in a way that sort of makes some play on the medical side of things. Yeah. I mean, how do you package this up to leave everybody with a bit of dignity? Because at the moment, the Lansdownes, if they were in everybody's firing line prior to this happening, everybody's going to be looking to them for something significant to restore the fans' confidence. Because one of the comments I've seen on numerous postings on OTIB is, I'm done. Even we said yesterday, we're disillusioned.
There's disillusion and there's done. The number of times I've heard people say, I'm not coming down here anymore. And lo and behold, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, they're back down there. It's a results-based business. And if the next guy comes in, and I don't think it'll happen like this, but if the next guy came in and we won five or six on the trot, Nigel Pearson would be forgotten. The same as it's lots of previous managers. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way that the industry is. Nobody wants, we don't want this bloke, we don't want that bloke, we don't want the other bloke. We're in at a level where we can attract what I would call the very top managerial talent, right? If Ten Hag got the boot at Man United, he ain't coming here. Or if Pep at Man City, Jurgen Klopp, we're not going to get that type of guy.
No, of course.
But what I would like to see, and somebody else here has said, we need a young progressive manager, someone like McKenna Ipswich, fresh ideas and likes working with youth. Nigel has been unlucky with the injury hit squad this year, McCrory a prime example. And that's true. And someone else is saying, well, he's not no backing in August. Well, he did get back in. He signed McCrory, who we haven't seen yet.
He signed Rob Dickey.
He signed Jason Knight. So he did get back in and he did get money to do it. And he did get money previously. The real thing I think that's killed him stone dead is the injuries. And that may be not why Dave Rennie's gone. We don't know if he was asked to leave or whether it's mutual consent or resigned. Same with Jason Newell. Everybody would assume, but it said that he's left the club with immediate effect after being relieved of his duties. Now that, for all the world, sounds like sacked. So we'll have to see how the story.
And that's what I'm saying. He's been sacked. Yeah, that's the word that I would use. But why is Jason Newell gone as well? Because they were, we've got rid of a package. Does that mean that whoever is going to come in? Yeah, it's going to be, might they go for an experienced head with that young coach? Because if you look at McKenna, his pedigree coming here, or coming to Ipswich rather, he was at Man United. Yeah, we don't want somebody that's a good up and coming coach that's not proven. He might be up and coming within League Two, but we know what it's like when we try and bring players into the club from League Two. It's a bloody big step up, isn't it?
Yeah, but McKenna, you'd have to say he went, as far as I'm aware, he went to Ipswich from Man United.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with looking at
guy? Is there a good number two? Is there a good number two? You know, if there was somebody at Man City and Arteta was at Man City in that sort of capacity, but if they took a good up and coming coach from a Premier League side that I'd never heard of McKenna until he popped up at Ipswich. What is going to appease the fans? Because this is just the way it's been done and the timing. Everybody is massively pissed off.
Well, the Lansdownes won't worry about appeasing the fans unless the fans want to come up with a couple of hundred million and buy the club. They do need the fans, but the fans are there. So unless people start not buying season tickets, not travelling away one thing and another, they probably won't take a great deal of notice.
Yeah.
Their focus would be on who do we bring in that's going to make the club more successful. Now, is it Maresca, the guy at Leicester? Well, hang on. Whoa, whoa. Maresca, the guy at Leicester, was Pep Guardiola's assistant.
Yeah.
He's done really well. But in fairness, he's got a much better squad of players to work with than we've got. And Leicester are a bigger club than we are. But they've still got financial issues, which meant they had to sell their best players, which we've done.
Okay. So, Ian, let me just stop you there. I've just got one of our contributors has come in. It's going to be on the speakerphone, but that's better than nothing. And I'm going to bring in Neil. Neil, you're out and about. I called you about half an hour ago. Are you maybe not shocked at the departure, but shocked at the timing, yes?
I'm not shocked at the departure because it's quite clear over the last couple of weeks that the relationship's broken down. I mean, those comments after the Coventry game by Pearson, and then there was nothing from the board at all, no comments, no support. And then he said in a week, oh, I've had very positive meeting with, you know, the COO. Nothing about having a meeting with the Lansdowns or anything. At that time, I thought, well, he's basically gone. I'm a bit shocked by the comments from John Lansdown, I have to say. You cannot say that we've given him a remit to get promotion, cut the budget by 40%, and not support him once the Scott money's come in. You cannot turn around and say it's a results-based industry and then say we've got 12 players out injured. 12 key, in a lot of ways, 12 key players to it.
Well, half of them, at least half of them would be in the starting lineup if fit, wouldn't they?
Yeah. You put, we're operating on an extremely small squad. And if you put some, even half of those injured players into the team, we would be consistently more productive and actually a much better team. With a full squad of players, he's built a team within that. I can't think of a dismissal that is going to be so less supported. Normally we get to the stage where we're, you know, managerial appointments where, and dismissals in this particular case, whereby, you know, there is something that has gone wrong in the club or we're languishing or things, we're on a slide. In this one, it's all about our personalities.
Yeah.
It's all about personalities for the Lansdowns. And for them not to come out and actually just say that, they could easily come out and just say, okay, the working relationship between the parties, it's got to the stage where we felt that it was in the best interest of the football club moving forward for both parties to leave. They haven't said that. They've said the results.
He's been a result. I know there's no mitigating. I think it's, I mean, he was sacked. They could have packaged this differently, as I was saying to Ian. They could have packaged this and said, you know, Nigel, you know, he's got personal concerns about his health. Yeah, we're leaving. You know, and they probably have paid him up to the end of his contract anyway. Yeah, as somebody said here on the text feed, you know, does you know, Nigel may have wanted this. Mind, he's looked pretty fed up in recent weeks. Yeah, I mean, what I don't think that holds water really, because Yule and Rennie go. What do you make of Yule and Rennie going, Neil? That's it.
Well, for me, it's a strange one that Curtis didn't walk as well. Yeah. Obviously, that they've got this situation where Curtis is there for the Sheffield Wednesday game next week, which is huge. I personally thought they were kind of setting him up for the fall a little bit after the Sheffield Wednesday game next week. Yeah. I thought if you went into that, didn't get a result, they'd never come out and say, look, okay, 6 losses in 8. We need to make a change, or whatever. You played the bottom team who before today hadn't won a game all season.
Yeah.
And they were kind of setting them up for it. But obviously, in some ways, they're not giving him the opportunity to actually win on Saturday.
Well, if he won on Saturday, I mean, we've got the bottom two clubs. I know Sheffield Wednesday won today, so we wouldn't be the first team to lose to them. But then in a fortnight, it's going to be QPR. And we all know who first game in charge at home that's going to be. That's going to be Neil Warnock, you know. So I think he would have, I personally thought he was going to get to the international break because, you know, there are the injuries, yeah. I just think it's been badly handled. I'll ask you a quick question, Neil. Give me a short list of three that you'd be happy with any one of those being appointed. Give me a short list of three.
Well, I'm pretty sure I know who's going to be appointed.
Well, you think it's Gary Rowett, yeah?
Yeah. But I think as Gary Rowett, they'll look at what he's achieved at Millwall and top half finishes in the last four seasons, regardless of the actual money, and look at how he's done that on a lesser budget than what City had.
Mm.
And using that rationale with, I hope above all hopes he doesn't go down a Nathan Jones route. I don't think he will, but then he's been quoting Luton for the last bloody year, hasn't he? So, you know, if you're looking at managers that are out of work at the moment that have worked with teams that he has expressed have done well under reduced budgets, then you've got to say Rowett, Nathan Jones, and probably John Eustace at Birmingham.
Yeah.
But I can see the plus. Nathan Jones would just be awful, wouldn't it? Having to listen to that Welsh voice.
Oh, my God.
Week in, week out. Yeah. I would just do my head in.
Do you think he's had this three-person clear out? Do you think it's a done deal? Because who's going to be... Okay, there's more than one person.
I think there's an appointment in the next two or three days.
So you think that person will be taking the team in training, in preparation for the game against Sheffield Wednesday?
No, I think Curtis Fleming's going to be in charge of Sheffield Wednesday.
Okay.
But I think the appointment may be made a day or two in advance, and he's this wonderful sitting up in the stands while Curtis is taking the team this week type moment.
Okay, all right. Ian, Neil's putting his colours to the mast with Gary Rowett. I mean... That's about the level we're at, really, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to get Schumacher from Plymouth, are you? Yeah, because I know they lost at Ipswich, but you know, would we? We haven't got the network to go abroad, have we?
I wouldn't know. I mean, there are surely people that can put you in touch with bright aspiring managers. And what will be happening at the moment is lots and lots of agents of managers will be ringing John Lansdowne, Steve Lansdowne, and et al, and saying, have you thought about my guy? He's this, he's that, and the other. It sounds to me that the way it was couched in that statement, as though there has been some kind of meeting, and the meeting developed into a bit of an argument. Now, I'm not stating that as a fact. It just seems when these things happen, and I've been in companies when they have happened, where they're saying that you've got one side of the table saying things like, for example, they might have been going out and saying, well, why don't we go out and get some free agents? Because that's the only players available to us now. Yeah. So, Brian Tinian, here's a list of free agents. How many of them could you get and what would they cost? And Pearson might have said, don't want to do that.
Well, and this has been part of the problem with Nigel. I mean, look, this 97...
Now, this is, can I just say, this is pure supposition.
Of course.
But I've seen these sort of things happen in companies where the owner's saying to someone in a particular job, well, I think, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you try the other? Because it's not going very well. And then he gets pushback from the guy, the girl, who says, well, I'm not going to do that because it doesn't work. Well, why don't you think it? Well, I've done it other places. It hasn't worked. Well, that don't mean to say it doesn't work here. Mm. And it turns into an argument as opposed to a constructive conversation around how do we go forward? Because look, Nigel's record, let's put our cards on the table. Nigel's record this year isn't great. Nigel's record since he walked in the door, and I've set this up just to put some context into this issue. Nigel has won 37 games, league games, this is, out of 120, with a minus 32 goal difference. His win rate is 31%. Mm. He's picked up 39% of the points. And over a season, that would get you 54 points. So it's safe, but no cigar. Yeah. And that is Nigel Pearson's league record. Now, there's all kinds of whys and wherefores And some people call them excuses. Other people call them reasons. Truth probably lies right in the middle of those two things. But one thing for sure, he can't put his hands up and say, I almost got Bristol City promoted. I got them to the edge of the playoffs. Now, Rowett, on the other hand, and he wouldn't be my choice, took Millwall to within one game of the playoffs. And I think they were something like 3-1 up at home against Blackburn. Yes. And they lost 4-3.
You're right.
Now, that was last season. And this is obviously, Steve Lansdowne, as I've been saying on the pod for weeks, is looking at clubs like Luton, Millwall, Coventry, and thinking, well, they haven't got loads of money.
No.
But look where they are and look where we are. And we have given Nigel some money to spend. Not loads. He hasn't lavished a fortune on him like he did with Ashton and Johnson. But, you know, and this thing has also come up about Nigel slashing the wage bill. The way he slashed the wage bill, there was no genius in it. They just let players' contracts
Let players walk out the door for nothing. See, let me just stop you there. Let me ask Neil a quick question. I've seen the odd rumour, not rumour, the odd comment on social media that there was friction developing between Nigel and Tins, you know, various comments. You've probably seen the same. Based on your sources, is there any substance to that at all, that maybe that relationship had broken down?
I haven't seen that, David. I can't comment on that. But for me, the moment that John and Nigel got into that tete last year, his card was marked.
Yeah.
You know, when Lansdowne came back, came swanning in, said, well, I would have hoped for better results than this. And Pearson has almost gone, who the hell are you almost to do it? You're never here. Well, you know, you're making comments on all of this type thing. Just go off back to your dad type thing. And then I thought his card was marked. I thought after that, there's no way they're going to extend his contract. But I think it's got petty. I cannot believe that there would have been another manager that wouldn't have been given some of the money. This concept that John Lansdowne has come out with nest egg, this nest egg comment, that's nest egg for the next manager, isn't it?
Well, that it's looking like that now because,
That is not a nest egg as a club. That is...
Is that John or Steve now?
He's going to move us forward. Then we will release funds. We're not going to do it with this guy.
No.
And basically, you know, he was forced into the situation with Gardner Hickman.
Because of McCrory.
700,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of McCrory's situation, he was going to be out for a significant period of time.
I mean,
so that, you know.
Neil, let me ask you this. I mean, we're all saying Nigel's being shafted and there's the injuries there. But to some extent, you know, back in the summer, maybe before the squeeze was put on, back in the summer, you know, if we weren't going to spend the money, we could have had loans. And Nigel hasn't helped himself with this. I don't want to develop other clubs' players. Yeah. Now, every club that we come up against week in, week out has got one, maybe two players from top sides that are making a difference. You know, I mean, he's stuck in his ways over certain things, isn't he? Yes. And, you know, he could have made a play. All right, they're not going to give me £2 million to spend and commit to a 3-year contract, but let me see if I can identify, or Brian, is there another Tammy Abraham out there that could have come in, you know, at the start of the season? Because the thing about Scott and all of that, it all happened during the transfer window. Yeah. And, you know, towards the end of the transfer window to some extent. So has Nigel not helped himself in that respect, in your view? And I'll ask Ian the same question, but you first, Neil.
He is who he is. He's been in the game long enough. He's going to stand there and he's going to say, this is my point of view. He's not a young manager going out of his way to impress and work with. He is somebody who says, this is me. This is my plan. This is how I'm going about it. If you don't like it, well, then you don't like it. Sorry. But this is the way that I'm going to... He's always been that way with us, David. He's never... he's always come across as somebody who has a plan. Now, what I'd say with it, yeah, the results have not been great. And Ian obviously went down into the detail there. And I don't fall out with any of that, with the results. But at least it felt in the last year and a half, as in there was some form of stability. I mean, the last time we actually had a manager, Gary Johnson, who spent, got quite close, didn't quite get there, got sat. We went into a bit of a cluster, didn't we? And, you know, eventually budgets were cut, whatever. People were allowed little bits of money, but not so much. And we went through the
Millen-O'Driscoll
scenario, and then we dropped down a division. We've been in this division now for longer than any time since the 1970s.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what he bought is stability, and he bought a plan. Now, unfortunately, we got to the stage where the third year, yeah, it's taken longer than I would have hoped, etc. Injuries haven't helped this year. If we hadn't had the injuries this year, what would we be looking at? I think there or thereabouts with playoffs, really. It's all a bit congested.
Well, this is a very congested division.
We're not a million miles off.
Yeah, it's a very congested division.
The Stoke game. You take the Stoke game. Three more points, where would we be? 21 points.
Yeah.
21 points from 14 games. Point and a half a game.
Yeah.
Right, okay. You know, and then you turn around and you can see how we have struggled over the last four or five games with injuries. But that's a short-term thing. To turn around and hit somebody round the head, metaphorically speaking, with its results-based thing and all the rest of it, at a time where you're making a short-term decision. That's where this whole decision-making for me. If you're going to make a decision, that's for you. You've put enough money into the club. You are the owners of the club, whatever.
Mm.
But don't say it's about results. Don't say the ambition of the club. This is the second. Have we actually heard from John Lansdowne this season?
No.
We actually heard from John Lansdowne? The first time he comes out and says, well, obviously it was all about our ambition was about promotion this year. And you're like, what? So the first time we've seen the chairman this season is when he comes on and sacks somebody.
No, you're absolutely right.
He said about Alexander, wasn't he? When Alexander left, that was the other comment by John Lansdowne. So any time you hear from the chairman is when somebody sacks or leaves under mutual.
Yeah, I think we haven't heard from John Lansdowne as in his spoken word. The only person from the hierarchy that we've heard from a spoken word was Steve Lansdowne saying when he handled the sale of Scott. And then about 3 weeks later, Phil Alexander was saying, I was deeply honoured to be involved in the sale of Alex Scott. Yeah, it's bad at the top. Ian, let me ask you that same question. Nigel, we all know what Nigel's like we don't know indeed. We know what Nigel, the football manager persona, is like. He's got his own way of doing things. And he said, even after the comments that he made, he says, I might say things in a way that, you know, doesn't come across I'll call it politically correct sort of fashion, yeah, or corporate political correctness I'm talking about there. But he doesn't help himself sometimes, Ian. And, you know, he hasn't played the lone field when every other club in this division has. So this doesn't justify what's happened today. But do you agree with me that he hasn't helped himself with that lone, not playing the lone market?
Well, he hasn't helped himself in terms of results. If we were in the top six, and that would only take another half a dozen points. And it's already saying, well, if we'd have done this against Stoke and if we'd have done this against so-and-so, well, that's if you're anti, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and every club could say that every season. The fact is that the Pearson Holden season and the two seasons after that, we won 15 games, which in most seasons is going to keep you up, but not going to get you anywhere near the playoffs. And that's where we've been. Now, that's the situation. Now, does he help himself by the way he makes comments and his demeanour? No. Because the guy was asking him a fairly vanilla question after the game, a fellow from Radio Bristol, I think it might have been Ali Durden or somebody else, said to him, well, you know, debuts today for full debut for Joe James. And then Jamie Knight-Labelle came on. And it, well, yeah, but, you know, I don't want to talk about debuts and, you know, I mean, I'm fed up with people telling us what a good side we are and what nice football they play, we play when they've beaten us. I'd rather they said we were a bunch of thugs and we won games 1-0, because that gets you more points. Now, Nigel can't complain about any dismissal based on his record. But and if the club wanted to do certain things and he didn't want to do it, then the only way around it is to part company with an owner. Now, and this is, I'll keep coming back to this thing about an owner. And I don't think it was John Lansdowne that talked about the nest egg. I thought that was Steve, in a Radio Guernsey interview. Yes. So we need to be careful. What he said was John was doing something like a kit launch. And one of the reporters said to him, well, how well do you think you're doing? And he said, well, I hope we'd be higher up the table than we are than when we were about 17th. And then John and the same day they put it to Nigel. And one of the comments he made was about the transfer strategy of selling our best players every year before he came in. And he said the strategy was bonkers.
Yeah, that was a term he used. Yeah.
It was, and that was Steve's stroke John's strategy that they'd agreed with Mark Ashton. And it did backfire, and we didn't get the success. And it did leave us with 2 years where combined we almost lost 70 million quid. So let's not forget that. So it's now down to Steve and John to appoint the right guy and get the club moving in the right direction on the field, because it's okay talking about the academy and the women's team and one thing and another, but it's not okay if the men's first team isn't doing very well. And the men's first team is the most important thing, the club. If that's going well, the rest of it, honestly, does it really matter? Well, it matters, but not as much as the results of the men's first team.
No, you're right. I'm just going to say Neil's had to leave us. I'm just seeing if I can call Chris on her. Chris, you there, Chris? Chris, we're doing a pod at the moment. It's good. You got 5 minutes just to give us your thoughts on what you texted me?
Are you live at the moment?
We started it about half hour ago, Ian, myself. We've had Neil on, so just jump in. I mean, you sent me the text. You sent me a link to the report that came out about an hour or so ago, about an hour and a quarter ago, to be precise. Just give us your thoughts, the timing, surprised or not?
Yeah, shocked, disappointed, a bit stunned, gutted. Yeah, I thought he was building something that I trusted. Two big games coming up now, Sheffield Wednesday and QPR, two winnable games with more than a team missing, almost nine players missing, almost the spine of the side. You know, if you bring a guy in now, what hope does that give him? He's got to... he's got a battle on with basically a teammate he doesn't really know. Maybe they're going to leave it in the hands of a caretaker to take the flak. But I think the fans are going to be really upset by this decision. And all I can see is a big falling out that must have occurred. And it's going to
When do you think that happened, Chris? Do you think, you know, do you think it was, I mean, I know allegedly Lansdowne was father and son, I guess, were at the Bristol Harlequins game yesterday. You know, what do you think brought it to a head so sudden? Because we were all thinking, we said on the pod, you've got the bottom two clubs coming up. Okay, Sheffield Wednesday did get their first win today, and we know QPR away, probably going to be Neil Warnock's first game in his third spell at the club back in charge. I thought he'd get to the international break. Were you of a similar mind set on that, Chris?
Yeah, if he was going to make a change, it was definitely going to be international break for me. Not that I even saw a change coming. I mean, what a job he's got on at the moment with so many players injured. You know, you're struggling bringing in academy lads who, you know, by the way, they did, you know, admirably. You know, they did really well. But, you know, how can you be judged on a team that is so injury ravages they are at the moment. It must be a personal issue. It must have been something to do with what he must have spoken out of turn. That interview he gave in the last couple of weeks, last fortnight, must have upset them. It must have affected their relationship, and perhaps a Lansdowne thought time was up. Let's do it now. Whilst they still have control.
Yeah.
I've only found out the news in the last 10 minutes.
I don't know if you've read the whole press release there, but were you aware that Dave Wren is gone and Jason Yule and Curtis Fleming is being there to hold on as allegedly coaching the team ready for the Sheffield Wednesday game? But, you know, there's three of them have gone. You know, it looks like three sackings. What's your thoughts on the other two guys leaving?
Usually clear the whole team out, don't they? You know, they're the guys that are Nigel Pearson's support mechanism. They've cleared the whole decks. They obviously feel as if they want a clean start, and at the moment they don't feel as if they can do that until they get the people out that support Nigel so strongly. Perhaps they handed in their resignation at the same time once they heard the news, but yeah, it's a tough one. You know,
okay.
As I said, I've only found out. I mean, my phone's absolutely going mad.
I'll let you go, Chris. I jumped to you. I saw your text, and I put you on the spot to just come on very quickly. Runners and riders. I mean, the smart money would appear to be on Gary Rowett. I don't know him as a person at all. Yeah, we've been talking on here that he's got a track record at this level and managing within a small budget. I mean, if you had to pick a short list of three that you think would be, you know, acceptable in your head, you know, you think, well, that's not a bad appointment. What would your three be?
Well, I was getting the impression that, you know, Nigel was trying to push for an extension of his contract. And Lansdowne possibly had someone in mind for the summer, and they were just trying to drag it out. Perhaps there was a manager who'd been sacked elsewhere who wanted to spend his compensation and take a back seat for a couple of weeks and months. Maybe, you know, see their family. I heard an interview with Rowlett on TalkSport just recently where he said he's been commuting to the Birmingham area whilst he's been doing the Millwall job, and he wants to spend some more time with the family. You know, perhaps he's been talked into returning to football earlier than perhaps he wanted to. Maybe him, Eustace at Birmingham would be another one. He's done a decent job over the last few months, leading up to, obviously, Rooney taking over.
Yeah, that's gone well.
The next appointment is a big one. You know, I dread to think. I'm a little bit shell-shocked, I've got to be honest. I'm a little bit disappointed because I like a club with stability, and, you know, I was almost proud of the fact that Nigel Pearson was one of the longest serving managers in the Championship.
Yeah.
It's only just been over 2.5 years. I mean, that just goes to...
And we had this, and he did, whatever you say about him, we were talking earlier before he came on about hasn't played the loan market, but whatever's happened, and Ian said he hasn't really slashed the wage bill in himself, it's just let the contracts run down and the players have walked out through the door. But the fact of the matter is he's presided over a massive reset over the last 3 years financially as we've tried to get over losing that money, and we've retained Championship status, and here we are barely a third of the way into the season. We could quite easily win the next two games against the bottom two clubs and we'd be knocking on the door of the playoffs again. You know,
and that's what makes me think it's
personal, isn't it?
But that's what makes me think it's more political than it is, you know, the results on the pitch.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, the statement from John Lansdowne suggests it's all about results, result-driven decision. But as soon as someone says that, that's true. They're trying to divert you away from the real issue, aren't they? So
no, that's true. True.
I think it's political. I think there's an ongoing argument between maybe him and Nigel Pearson, and the decision's being made, and, you know, we're looking for a new manager.
Well, two strikes and you're out, basically, because you used the term bonkers about a year ago to describe the strategy on transfers before he got there. And then he used the irritated comment about things recently. But no, I think it's personal as much as football reasons. Chris, I know you're busy and I jumped on you with this, but look, thanks a lot for that contribution. I'm sure we'll hear more from all sorts of people, but enjoy the rest of your Sunday and chatting it through with all your other callers. All the best, Chris. Cheers.
No problem, David.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Bye-bye. God, blimey, it's like sat here in a proper bloody radio studio or something like that, isn't it?
I've got a Twitter poll.
Yeah.
For the next manager, yeah. 515 votes. Rowett, 14. Eustace, 42. Beale, 17. And others, 27.
Mm-hmm.
So it would appear that Eustace is the most popular out of the ones currently being touted. But I'll try and find some other names on here. Warnock has come up until the end of the season. Liam Rossini, ex-City player. I don't want him, but we'll go cheap and get someone like Danny Cowley. I wouldn't want that either.
Oh, no.
Then Gary Monk has come up. He's been linked with the Rovers job.
Joey Barton.
Nathan Jones. Mark Robbins, but highly unlikely.
Joey Barton.
Graham Potter. Chris Wilder.
There's a few good names there, isn't there, really? But I mean, the thing is,
Frank Lampard's another one that's come up.
I wouldn't, you know, if you look, you just rattled off some names there, and Frank Lampard, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. Wouldn't fancy him here at all. Somebody's just put Steve Gerrard. Well, at least he'd be playing in front of a crowd if he came to Ashton Gate, because I think it was, 976 at one of those Saudi Arabian games that he was in charge of. But do you think the Lansdownes are going to appear on Radio Bristol within the next 24 hours? Do you think they'll be on Sound of the City tomorrow night?
Well, I would imagine everybody at Radio Bristol is contacting Steve and John and saying, come on the show.
You really want to hear from the bloody organ grinder, don't you, really? And that is Steve. Yeah?
Well, you do, so but it's what, not just...
John, whenever John's interviewed, he's like the guy who's got a terrorist stood next to him. No, that's bad take. He's like the guy stood with a gun at his head just out of camera shot, you know.
Well, I think... They will want to come on when they've got something to say. A lot of the questions they're going to be asked are going to be just easily batted off. We're going to go through. Remember when we went through a rigorous and nationwide global, no doubt, process, and we picked the bloke in the next office to Lee Johnson?
Mm.
I'm afraid they're going to have to come up with something concrete, but also the strategy. And saying we want to get in the Premier League is a bit like me saying I want to go out with Carol Vorderman. I mean, it's not going to happen.
I don't know, Ian. I don't think she's that choosy.
but it is, isn't it? It's like saying that. Now, so, okay, well, are you going to ring her up? No, I haven't got her number. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I might send her a tweet or something like that. It's a wish, and it's not a realistic wish. Now, if Leicester said, we want to get back in the Premier League, okay, then you think, they've lost their best players, but they've replaced them with very, very good players, probably what I'll call lower Prem level, not Championship players, and it shows. But Ipswich have gone about it a completely different way, and that's worked as well. Now, that's probably something else this got up Steve Lansdowne's nose. And the last thing that an owner wants is to be told that what they're doing is bonkers or wrong or spoken back to. They don't like you speaking back to them, especially in an aggressive way. And I've fallen victim of that myself. Mm. So, look, it's something that I think they've got to get it right. And none of this, Curtis is a great guy and we're going to give him the job until January or something like that, because I think that just wind people up even more. But at the end of the day, as we said on the pod last night, spookily enough, it's all about results. and you've got to get results. And if, I don't know, some fellow we'd never heard of from, I don't know, South Korea came in and we started winning game after game after game, everybody'd be perfectly happy with him.
Yeah. And well, do you know really what? It's almost exactly, Ian, do you know what? It's almost exactly 25 years ago to the day, and I'd say give or take three maybe, that we got rid of John Ward. And if you remember, we beat Bolton, I think it was a Friday night on a Sky game, and John Ward had gone by the Monday. I was doing club call back in the day, and they wheeled in Benny Lennartson, who was up at the Avon Gorge Hotel for the press conference. I mean, and, you know, we probably lost the next two matches. What was it? 5-1 and 6-0, I think it was. That was the famous Wolves game with the Maskers.
Yeah, Wolves at home and Bradford away. I think a few things are going to happen. I think you'll see us. I think Brian Tinian, as we speak, will be looking at bringing in free agents. And they'll have to
get up to match fitness, haven't they? Daniel Ayala was a player.
Well, they might have been training with another club. Anything could have been happening. They might be fit, so they might be on short term deals elsewhere that they can get out of and play for us. So I think that's one thing that's going to happen, because, you know, we've been decimated by injuries. Forget why, the whys and wherefores. We just have. It's a fact, and we have to proceed with it. Now, the other thing is they're going to be finding the person they consider the right manager. And the profile, people are quite right in what they're saying. It'd be somebody who can work on a small budget. So we won't get a big time Charlie. So I think that'd rule out people like Frank Lampard. We won't get anybody who says, well, you know, obviously I'll need 15 million and I need to bring in a complete entourage of people with me. That guy's not coming in. And it will be someone who's done well at a similar
Gary
ish club.
Rowett. Keep coming back to Gary Rowett, don't we?
Well, it could be the guy that's got the Preston job at the moment, Ryan Lowe. It could be Schumacher at Plymouth. They'll look around for people who've done well. It could be Nathan Jones, done well on a small budget.
If you're an employed manager, though, what would your perception... Yeah, if you're out of work, you'll say anything to get a job. I know that in what I do. People say, oh, yeah, I'll move house. Yeah, but you've always lived in Liverpool and this job's down in Crawley. Yeah, but I'll move. And then you know it's not sustainable, right? You know that's not sustainable. I mean, you know, what is the perception of the football club in the eyes of the football world? You know, does the football world think Nigel has done a good job? What does the football world think of Steve Lansdowne? Yeah, and if you're in a job, why would you come here? Why would Schumacher leave Plymouth or Ryan Lowe leave Preston? And I'll be honest, you know, of the two you mentioned there, Schumacher, probably better than Ryan Lowe, both, you know, but you know, will they think Nigel's been hard done by?
Well, I think there's one thing for sure. The facilities are an attraction. So if you look at both those clubs, you'd probably say that Ashton Gate is more up together than Home Park in Deepdale. The training facilities are probably 100-150% better. Especially when you throw the one that the Bears have got into the equation. So there's that. There's the academy, which seems to be quite well thought of. But as far as I remember a manager years ago, whether it still applies, and this was during Steve Lansdowne's time, and it was one of his appointments who said, I said, how do people view us away from Bristol? And he said, oh, people always say Bristol's a nice place to live and they can do the money. The club can do the money. Well, at the moment, I don't think we can do the money.
Mm.
So it just comes to, is it a nice place to live? And people, it is one of the most popular places in the country to live.
Is that part of the problem, that we're soft? You know, that it's, oh, you know, Bristol City, yeah, no. And they used to say that when we were in the first division 40-odd years ago. You know, we paid top dollar, yeah? I just want to read, Tomo said on here, getting it right, Ian, have they ever got it right? They did with Cots and pulled the trigger on him as soon as they could because he spoke out and was a yes man. He was not a yes man. And that is part, mm-hmm. somebody else has made that comment about Rowett. Rowett can be a little bit prickly as well. Look at the circumstances as to how he left Birmingham. Okay, that was his choice. He thought, you know, but you don't want a manager that if a better offer comes along, he's going to clear off in about 12 months' time. You know,
but that's managers for you, Dave. I mean, what do you do if you're managing Bristol City and Liverpool come along and say, can you come in and manage us? You ain't going to say no, are you?
Of course you're not. But that's not going to happen because we're not going to get that. We're not going to get that caliber of manager. I mean, look, when Richard Gould went, fact, I believe, Lansdowne sought the counsel of Richard Scudamore, and hence we got Phil Alexander. Now, you could argue that went well, but the more this goes on, you wonder whether it's people with football knowledge thinking, I can't work with a Lansdowne. Who do you think John and Steve will be seeking the counsel of when it comes to getting the next manager? Do you think it will be Brian Tinian? They're not going to appoint him, surely not, as Tomo said, yeah? But do you think Brian is saying he's a good bloke? What are they going to do? I mean, they're probably shitting themselves thinking, oh, my God, you know, we might actually get some stick at a home game against Sheffield Wednesday if we get this wrong, right? So who's giving them advice? Do you think, or do you think not?
Well, if this sacking was planned, and if it's been going on with unrest behind the scenes for weeks, as numerous people have alluded to, then they will have prepared a shortlist or put feelers out or whatever. And football's such an incestuous game that Nigel Pearson might have heard about it.
What he said to Radio Bristol. Well, hopefully.
Yes. If it was planned. Now, if it wasn't planned and they've had some kind of meeting and they've had a falling out, then all of a sudden they've got to find three people. Because it could have been that Pearson said, well, if that's how you feel, lads, you better sack me. And they said, right, okay, you're fired. And then Jason Ewells looked up and said, well, I'm with Nigel. Well, you're fired as well. And then Dave Rennie's probably said, well, I don't want to work with another manager other than Nigel. And, well, you're off as well then. So it could have happened like that. We don't know. But it seems as though it's come to a head over the last few weeks. And, well, say it's now come to a head following what's been going on for the last few weeks. But he's not been a happy camper. He said himself that there's always, you know, for every opinion, there's a counter opinion. And, you know, it may be that his opinion and Steve and John's opinion may have been polar opposites. And you can't go forward like that.
No.
I remember saying to an owner once when he said, well, if you can't agree with what I'm saying, we may have to part company. And I said, well, I think you're doing a great job as a CEO. He said, I'm not talking about me, mate. I'm talking about you.
Yeah. I mean, Thomas said on here, if Lansdowne opens up the purse in January, how disrespectful that would be to Nigel Pearson. If that happens, it will prove to all of us it was personal. I think it's personal as well.
No, wait a minute. No, I disagree. I don't think they get on personally like Steve saw Lee Johnson as his protege, right? It's not that kind of relationship. But I don't think you could say it's personal because it's not like we're top of the table and he's done this.
And that's it. Business. It's 5 defeats in 7. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not just that, Dave. It's his record over the last 2.5 seasons.
All right.
And it's not good. You can talk all you like about injuries and circumstances and players leaving the club, X, Y, Z, but he's not had a great record. He's not had a great impact. Now, you may say, oh, well, he sorted out players' contracts and he's done this and he's done that. And then you say, well, is that him or the CEO or how much is Brian Tinian involved? And we don't really know. And there's loads of people want to take credit for cutting the wage bill. And like I said, I don't think they've done anything incredibly clever. They just either bought players off or they've gone to they've let them run down their contracts, which is a very expensive way of doing it.
With Famara and the Chelsea trio. Yeah. Ian, let me just pick up on a couple of other comments on the text feed. David 91 BCFC said, I'd like Scott Parker, but the board are way too tight to pay his wages. I'm sorry, David. I would not want to see Scott Parker here. I don't think he's all that. I know he took Fulham up and he took Bournemouth up as well, but they both splashed the cash. Never mind his wages. What do you think of Scott Parker as a name to throw in the mix?
He, like you say, he hasn't done bad, but he's done it at clubs that are what I call ex-prem clubs. I think he falls into that bright young coach category, but I think he's currently out of work. Which means that they would probably
start winning under Fleming, because, you know, we could easily win the next two. We could easily lose the next two. And then, as we said yesterday, it's followed up with Middlesbrough at home. I know they lost yesterday, but they were having a good run. Southampton away. You know, we if the injury crisis continues, you'd lay odds on us potentially losing the next four. Yeah. But
if you look at a comment that Adam Wyatt has just made on the feed, Dave, let's be honest. We don't know what went on and we never will. Injuries have killed us. But on the other hand, the football at home has been absolute dross and the results haven't been good enough. And I said last night on the pod, and I've said on previous pods, my overwhelming emotion when I'm down at Ashton Gate recently watching the games has been boredom.
Yeah.
We're not entertaining to watch. We're just not.
No.
And you don't, you know, I said it halftime against Ipswich. We're playing okay, but I just can't see where a goal's going to come from.
No.
We don't look full of goals, do we? We don't look like a side who's...
Nigel said it was going to be fast front foot attacking football. I mean, do you think...
Yeah, and it hasn't been.
No, but is that because we haven't... Because you take the... There have been one or two games where we've started to be a little bit more... I don't know. I mean, you look at Ipswich and they had... Have we got an identity? Has Pearson instilled a playing identity, or are the injuries the mitigating circumstances here?
Well, it's both. It's both. I think our squad, fully fit and on form, is a top 10 championship squad.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Right? But as I said to you earlier offline, we've probably got, if I was picking a team, we've got 75% of our first choice back four injured. We've got 66% of our holding central midfield. I'm talking about a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
We've probably got our best centre forward out injured.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, that's three out of four players. So that's three. That's two in the midfield. That's five. And there's another one that's six. Now, when I looked at the players that are currently injured, I thought somewhere between seven and nine of them would be in my first 11. Now, you cannot take that many. You couldn't take that many first choice players out of Man City and expect them to do as well as they do. So we need to be realistic about it. But we've also, you know, Andy King's out allegedly with a hamstring injury again. He's had two hamstring injuries since.
Well, he's on a one-year contract. That was going to be my next question, Ian. I wonder how the players feel about it, because you've got the Leicester contingent with Matty James and Andy King, and then there's a general view that, and like a lot of managers that aren't doing so well, there's the old comment, lost the dressing room. But the general view is that in recent games, we have been given 110%, but it's just not been good enough.
You know, he's not lost the dressing room. The players seem to quite like him. Up from everything I hear, you know, in the grapevine and on the rumour mill and all the rest of it, you don't get this, everybody hates Pearson. And although a season or so back, he was throwing them under the bus like he was going out of fashion. Remember that? One time I saw the fan base really have a pop at him was after he made the comments about not trusting Rob Atkinson when he played Andy King centre-half.
And look how he treated Cam Pring, that Preston game, not so long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Zach Viner at Swansea, they've all had it. But one thing I think he's even-handed. He'll dish it out to who he thinks it needs to be dished out to. But and he's one of these guys, my way or the highway, which is great when you're successful and when you're winning. And he hasn't been.
Yeah.
Now, you can talk all day about injuries and contracts and money and this, that and the other. But Lansdowne, you can see what how Lansdowne's mind's working. I'm talking about Steve. He's looking at it and said, well, hang on a minute. Where's the multi-billionaire backer of Luton? Where's the multi-billionaire backer of Coventry? Where all these Millwall were up there last season. Why can all these clubs do it?
And well, we can't. And that's the coaching. And that is the coaching, it's the methodology. And you know, and how many times, Ian, every podcast this season, you know, how many times are we wellying the ball? You know, we're playing with three strikers. They don't play together. The Wyman, Semenyo and Martin, that was three strikers playing in a unit. And that was evidenced by them scoring 50 goals in that season and contributing with mutual assist in about 30 of them, if I recall correctly. That was a unit. Now we've got three strung out and we keep it in high balls. Yeah. And we should have had a bloke like George Hurst or Mete. Yeah, I mean, he was dishing it out against us the other day.
You need somebody who can hold. Got it. Yeah, you need somebody who can hold the ball up, and you don't want to head on a stick. Now, a lot of people at the start of the season on social media and everywhere else were saying, "Well, we think we're three or four players short." Mm. And when Scotty was sold, we thought we'd bring those players in. Might have been on loan, might have been on perms, whatever. Yeah. We thought we'd bring them in. No one's come in, and we only got Gardner Hickman because of the long-term nature of the injury to Ross McCrory, who, lest we forget, picked that up at a fitness and conditioning camp. And the other thing that I think we did badly wrong was in our pre-season friendlies where we played dross. Yeah. And, we looked to me like we went into the Preston game, first game of the season, pretty undercooked.
Yeah, no, we said that. I mean, we were playing dross teams and, you know, we rattled in, what was it, 22 goals in the first five friendlies?
Oh, it was something ridiculous. But don't forget, we lost Alex Scott to an injury and Nigel was saying, obviously on information given to him, oh, we're thinking we'll have Scotty back for the Millwall game. Mm. And Scotty started playing about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. October, no, mid-October. Here,
Steve. This is, I think this, Ian, this is on Twitter. I'm just having a quick look at that. A guy, Steve Bennett, he said, replying to Forever Bristol One, Ian will be delighted. I don't think you are delighted, Ian. It's just we want results. We want the best for Bristol City. And, you know, you've got a toxic recipe here of a manager and a chairman who don't get on and crap results on the field based on the last seven games.
Well, no, I'm not delighted. I never, as I said earlier on, I didn't dislike Pearson. I dislike the results he got and the football he played a lot of the time. And anybody that can say to me, well, I think we played great football and we got really good results. You haven't been watching the same team as I have for the last three seasons.
No.
So it's not, I don't, that's why I said, I'm surprised, but I'm not shocked. No. And let's go back to some comments on air. You know, people talking about, let's be fair, it hasn't been great. Benny on air, it has been dull.
Yeah,
at home, and it has.
Dave 91, he said he's a manager of Reims in France, talking about Scott Parker. But I think the manager of Reims in France, isn't he that English kid that took a couple of coaching badges? And I saw him, he got a red card in a French game the other day, and then there was a clip of him on Twitter apologising to the referee for his remarks. He's the manager of Reims, isn't he? Do you know what I'm talking about there, Ian?
I think vaguely, Dave. But
he's a young lad, isn't he?
I'm no expert. I know I saw the programme about the kid you mean, but I'm not 100% sure, so I won't comment on it. But
all right. I think we've done.
As I say, no, I'm not delighted to see him lose his job, particularly when he's in ill health.
Yeah.
But his record does not stand up against other clubs. I mean, the first season Luton made the playoffs, they had 20 players out injured at one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
They still made the playoffs. So let's not keep throwing that up and saying, well, he's had no money to spend. He's had as much money to spend prior to this season than the managers at the clubs that Steve Lansdowne are doing okay.
How many times have we said on here, you know, as you say, Pearson's had a reasonable amount of money compared to many. Poor old Steve Lansdowne, he spent a third of a billion if you take ground improvements, infrastructure and funding losses. And out of those losses, obviously players and players' wages. And he it, probably dawned on him maybe about a year ago that how come some people have achieved a lot more for a hell of a lot less. Now, he's made a lot of bad decisions. You know, he has chucked a lot of money in, yeah? It's the sort of money that if I had his money and a love of a football club, you'd probably do that, although I think it's his son was the one with the love of the club. You know, it is a watershed moment. We hope they get it. We hope they get it right. Final question, Ian. Do you think there'll be a new manager in place by the time we play Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday?
I'm not going to say definitely, but it wouldn't surprise me. And I think that scenario, the manager being sat up in the stand watching Curtis Fleming take control of the side for the game is probably the right one. They should, for all the time this has been bubbling under, you would think they would have identified who they want if, even if it all went pear-shaped in a meeting, and a meeting turned into an argument, which, yeah, as I say, that's supposition.
It could have happened. We don't know. And then final question. Yeah. Do you think that whoever the new manager is, that come the January transfer window, we will spend, not big, but we'll have maybe a transfer budget to spend on wages or loan players? Do you think that is now a possibility? And Lansdowne rather foolishly used that term nest egg, because in his mind Pearson was going to be going, and he's kept that up his sleeve in a way that, you know, we could have a great run between now and Christmas, that we could give that new manager some funds. Our injured players are going to be coming back, or with all the injuries, as you've just said, Ian, you know, this squad, when they're all fit, never going to happen, they're a top 10 squad. Maybe I'll hang on to the money, but I'll keep my question short. Joke. Do you think there'll be money in the transfer window for permanent signing or loan players?
I think there'll be money in the January budget if they bring a new guy in for both. Okay. And I think, look, one good thing about loans is, and when people say, well, don't want to develop another club's player, I wouldn't mind getting another Tammy Abraham to play up front.
No, but his goals counted in the division that year, didn't they?
Exactly, they did. But
in another season, those goals could send you out the other way, couldn't they?
Yeah, and so let's do that. I mean, I don't think. And the other thing about them is, if they don't quite work out, then you've only got them for a limited amount of time and a limited amount of money, and then they're gone.
Bit like Gardner Taylor Hickman. You know, we've got an option to buy. We haven't got to buy him. Yeah.
No, Taylor Gardner Hickman. Yeah. So him as well. But no, I think on that front, yes, I think there'll be money available, and I don't think he was referring to that when he talked about the nest egg. But I think I can understand it from Steve's point of view, because he's pumped in loads and loads of money and got not much to show for it from the two lovely training grounds and a nice shiny stadium.
Exactly.
So let's see what develops. But I would say shocked, but I'd be quite surprised if we haven't got anybody. You know, the heir to the throne. In the director's box for the Sheffield Wednesday game. I'd be quite surprised.
And it'll be interesting to see who that is. Ian, thanks for that. Thanks for Chris Honour and Neil Sutton, who both came on unexpectedly for them, because I said we're doing a live podcast now. We'll get this uploaded, but it's available on YouTube anyway. You know, a few people have been watching that. I'm sure Radio Bristol will be, Sound of the City should be interesting on Monday. I'm sure Paul Binning will probably do this evening Twitter or X Spaces thing. But those of you who listen, thanks a lot for that. I'm going off for my Sunday tea or supper at 6 o'clock at Escala on the seafront in Clevedon. Now, I'm not looking for a free meal for giving you a plug there, but looking forward to doing that. Ian, you're probably hopeful that your dog hasn't had another mini explosion out of its bottom.
Thank you for sharing that, David.
Yeah, I know. And is he getting better? Is he getting better, the old boy?
Well, I hope so. Yeah, no, he's all right. He's led down beside beside me here. So, I mean,
and if we do get a new manager, if we do get a new manager, we'll have the appointment podcast episode. Yeah, and I'm going to see if I can get there's a song called "He's Gone." Was that Daryl Hall and John Oates? Yeah,
correct.
I might stick that. I might stick that up.
And it was called "She's Gone." So you may have to edit it.
Yeah, but he, she, you know, you could sing lots of songs where you just swap the gender around, you know, just to see who's singing. There we go. All right, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening, and those of you that have been watching, thanks for that.
Yeah, God bless everybody. When the red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red robins are bobbing along. When the red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red robin starts bobbing along.